In past episodes, we've shown you how to deal with your fears. We've spoken on the necessity of having a deep love for the lost, of the importance of prayer. We've demonstrated how to use God's law to bring the knowledge of sin and show someone they need a Savior.
So how are you going to handle it the next time you find yourself in a situation where you're talking to a non-Christian friend or family member, or a coworker, or even a stranger, and you're having a great time and it's a perfect opportunity to share your faith? So you swallow your fears, you bring up the subject of God, but then what? What do you say? What questions do you ask? And how do you make sure you don't get lost down some rabbit trail?
So what do you do? This lesson will help you. We'll show you how to jump in and navigate through a whole conversation. It's simple. You can do it. So watch closely and don't let anything distract you.
Who do you know who isn't saved? What are you going to do about it? Join Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort as they speak to atheists, intellectuals, students, and stockbrokers. Everyday people everywhere, including exciting locations like New York City, Las Vegas, San Francisco, and Hollywood. You'll learn how to share your faith simply, effectively, and biblically, the way Jesus did. And now, another captivating episode of The Way of the Master.
Welcome to The Way of the Master. If you've been following this program, you'll find there's a common thread running through them, and that's the thread of biblical evangelism. The reason God revealed himself to humanity in Jesus Christ was to destroy the power of the grave. That's why God became a man, to destroy death. And we've been given an awesome responsibility to seek and save that which is lost with the message of eternal life. And what we want to do is do it properly. Jesus warned that many on that day would say to him, Lord, Lord. And he'd say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And the principles that we've been teaching are the principles of law to the proud and grace to the humble. We use God's law to the proud to humble them, bring the knowledge of sin, and the gospel is taken to those who have humble heart. And so that's the principle.
Now this episode is very unique in that Ray happens to think that it might be completely unnecessary. So we've decided to go ahead with the episode because when Ray talks about sharing his faith, he encourages people to just dive in, sink or swim kind of an attitude, and let instinct kick in, either instinct or panic, and you'll learn how to do it one way or another. My personal preference is to put my toe in the water and have someone take me by the hand and show me step by step what to do. That makes me a little bit more comfortable and more confident.
Whatever way we do it, whether you be toe first or head first, let's do it because people are going to hell. There's a sense of urgency.
That's right. So we've boiled the method of sharing your faith that Jesus used down to four simple steps, four stepping stones to get you through a witnessing conversation easily and effectively. If you can remember the letters WDJD, you can find your way through a conversation with somebody. You'll always know where you are in the conversation and you won't get lost. You won't be at a loss for words. You don't need to understand Greek or study archaeology. All you need to do is remember four simple points and you're on your way. Would you like to do that? If so, let's get started.
Right.
Come on.
Do it.
All right, here I go.
Okay. I'm going to lead Kirk through these four stepping stones across the scary waters of personal evangelism. That is, sharing his faith with a non-Christian. Kirk, what are you doing hiding behind that bush?
I'm scared.
You're scared?
I've never done this before. I'm nervous.
Let your light shine before me and don't hide it under a bushel. Folks, most of us are scared when it comes to personal evangelism. If you're hiding behind a bush or in the cave of inferiority, let me tell you a secret. I had an inferiority complex before I was a Christian. I was called beetroot face in school. I would go red at the drop of a hat. But when you're a Christian, you've been commissioned to take the gospel of everlasting life to a world that's in the shadow of death. I mean, the issue is so important, we can't afford to hide behind a bush. Kirk, say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, you can do it.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay, now come out from behind that bush. Now what are you scared of? What's your fear?
Well, I'm just a kind of a shy person.
So am I, but remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay, so I just, start talking to people, learn to be friendly?
Yeah, and just say to yourself, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Speak the word of God, let it get into your heart, and believe it. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, all you have to do is practice being friendly to people.
Say hello to strangers. I do it all the time. And you'll get a fright. You know what strangers will say to you? They'll say hello back. They'll warm to your warmth.
Okay, practice being friendly.
Practice being friendly.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, that's it. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, beautiful day. Wow. Love this fresh air.
Yeah, you've come out of your bush. Now what you've got to do is swing to the things of God.
How do I do that?
Well, you can do it many ways. You can say to someone, excuse me, is there any good churches around this area? You've got to deliberately mention the things of God. And remember, the person's eternal welfare is at stake. The worst that can happen to you is a sense of rejection. So someone says, don't want to talk. That's all that can happen.
Okay, so I'm talking with a family member or a stranger, strike up a conversation, and I bring up the things of God. Hey, you know any good churches around here?
Or you could say, did you get one of these? And just use a gospel tract. And as you give it to them, you say, it's a gospel tract. You've deliberately brought up the things of God. It'll take courage, but remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a step you've got to take.
Okay, so I'm not going to wait for them to bring it up. I'm going to deliberately bring up the things of God with a tract.
Because you care about the person.
Because I care about them. Okay.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Here's my gospel tract. It's a $1 million bill.
Yeah.
I'm really nervous, but yeah. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, we know you're nervous. You're not going to die, Kirk.
Okay.
The person is not going to kill you. You're not going to be burned at the stake or stoned to death. So you can do it.
Okay, here we go.
Let love swallow your fears.
Okay.
Hey. Take the step.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, great. Hey, did you get one of these? It's really cool. It's a $1 million bill. And on the back, it has a gospel message.
That's it. Oh, you did it. You did it.
I did it.
You
and,
I, oh,
and then I say to them, do you have a Christian background?
Yeah. Just say, do you have a Christian background? Now, that's a very inoffensive question. You're just asking them about their background. You're talking to them about their favorite subject, themselves. And most people love talking about themselves. So
okay.
That's what you're doing.
Okay, so I'm in the game. I'm ready, but I'm nervous. See, what's the next step?
Now take your first step, W. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Okay. So would you consider yourself to be a good person?
That's it. Good one. You made
it. Okay, well, the guy's probably going to say, yes, I think I am a pretty good person.
Well, the book of Proverbs 20, verse 9, says he'll almost certainly say that. Most every man will proclaim his own goodness.
Do you consider yourself to be a good person, Michael?
Of course.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person, first of all?
I believe so.
Okay.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I'm a good person, yes.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Oh, most definitely.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would consider myself to be a good person.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah, I definitely would.
Destiny, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
So most people will say, yeah, I'm a very good person.
Okay, so he says I'm a good person. Now what?
So that's your first step. Now this brings you to the second step. D. Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments? Come on.
Okay.
You can do it.
Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
That's it. Good one.
And then I go through the commandments.
Yeah, just say, have you ever told a lie?
Okay, have you ever told a lie? And the guy's going to say, well, sure, of course, everybody has. And I say, well, what does that make you? And if he says human or normal, I can say, well, come on, if I murder somebody, it makes me a murderer. If I rape somebody, it would make me a rapist. So if you've lied, what are you called? And you're trying to get him to say liar.
Yeah, and sometimes they won't say it. So they say, look, I told a lie, what would you call me? And most people say, you'd be a liar. It's easier to judge others than ourselves.
So I'm trying to get the guy to be honest and just admit that lying makes him a liar.
And then take him through a few more of the commandments.
Okay, yeah, have you ever stolen anything? He's probably going to say, yeah. Yeah, when you were a kid, taking anything from the office, from school. Well, what does that make you? A thief. Take him through another one. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. That's the seventh commandment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be guilty of that one.
Yeah.
So I can say, man, think about it. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving adulterer at heart.
And you're not judging him.
No.
He's admitted it by his own admission. You're just agreeing with what he said. So there's still no offense. Remember, his conscience is bearing witness with it. The conscience is saying, this is true, what Kirk is telling me.
Right. I'm not calling him a sinner or an adulterer. He's admitted it already to me. I'm just drawing it out of him.
Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
Some of them, not all of them.
Have you ever murdered somebody?
No. No.
Have you hated someone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible says that's murder, huh? You know that?
No.
Yeah, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer.
That's God's standard.
No, I didn't know that.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, what does that make you?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy. It's using God's name as a cuss word.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this one. Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked with lust?
No.
You've never looked at a guy with desire?
Oh, yeah, but that's not I don't consider that adultery.
But you have lusted.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't know, I don't consider it as adultery. I'm not sleeping with the person. Yeah, isn't adultery when you sleep like your neighbor's husband?
Yeah, but this is what Jesus said. He said, whoever looks with lust has committed adultery in the heart. That's how high God's standard is. He's perfect. He's holy.
Yeah.
Have you ever hated someone?
Yep.
Okay, the Bible says you've committed murder in your heart if you hate someone.
Yeah, I know that.
You do know that? And Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart.
Yeah.
So have you ever looked with lust?
Yep.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Have you ever told a lie before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if you've told a lie, what does that make you?
A sinner.
But more specifically, what does it make you?
I broke one of God's commandments.
Right. Well, if I murder someone, I'm called a murderer, right?
Yeah.
And if I lie. Right,
liar.
Right. That's right. That's right. All right. Have you ever stolen anything before? Even something small?
Yeah, when I was younger, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you've stolen something, what does that make you?
It makes you a thief.
That's right. You got the idea.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Not no more.
But
I have.
Okay.
I have.
You've done the past. All right.
Now Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
Are you a homosexual?
No, I mean, I looked at, you know what I'm saying, women, but yeah, I looked at women, yeah.
Okay, so you were lying to me.
Yeah, I was.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What does that make you?
That makes me a person who has told a lie. Now, why did I tell a lie? And are we classifying the lie with, there's so-called white lies and bigger lies. If it's a lie told not to hurt someone else or to protect someone else from being hurt, yes.
Let's put it this way. If I tell a lie, what would you call me?
You would have to be a liar.
That's it. So what are you?
I'm a liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes, I have stolen something.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, everyone's told a lie.
So what does that make you?
I guess it makes me a bad person.
Now, what are you called if you tell a lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy when you use God's name as a cuss word. And here's the fourth one. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I'm sure I have. I can't, yeah, probably.
Okay, have you ever told a lie?
Sure.
What does that make you?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Yeah. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
It's called blasphemy. And Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked?
Oh, there's a lot of hot men over here.
Okay, Kim, by your own admission, you're embarrassing me.
Sorry.
All right, I'm feeling good. What's the next step? Next step is J. So take a step, it's judgment. If God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty? Okay. You can do it. Okay. So, if God were to judge you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
That's it.
Okay.
It's just a little step, but a very important one.
Now, most people are going to say, well, I'd be guilty, but I don't think God's really going to judge me like that. So well, then what I say?
Well, they may say, look, you know, my God's a God of love and mercy, and God's not going to judge me for my mistake. And what you've got to do is show them they're now violating the second of the Ten Commandments, which says you should not make yourself a graven image. You should not make a God to suit yourself, either with your hands or your mind. So what they'll do is try and shape a God to suit their sin. My God would never judge me. So just tell them that's called idolatry, and you could say, I did that before I was a Christian. Which I did, personally, I created a God to suit myself.
So if a guy says he doesn't believe in judgment day and that God's going to judge him, just say, well, you're creating a God that's a false God, one that you're more comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's another violation of the commandment.
Yes, it makes sense that God would punish murder.
And I can just say to him, if God judged you by the Ten Commandments, like the Bible says, would you be innocent or guilty?
Right. Some people say they'll be innocent, some people say they'll be guilty. But if someone says, I'll be innocent, say, come on, you've just admitted to me you're a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart. Obviously you'd be guilty. And the Bible says you'd be guilty. Your conscience says you'd be guilty. So be reasonable. Be honest.
Okay, so he admits, all right, yeah, I'd be guilty if God judged me by that standard.
If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, Courtney, bearing in mind that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and you've committed murder in your heart, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Probably guilty.
So on Judgment Day, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you be innocent or guilty, based on the Ten Commandments?
I'd be guilty.
Do you think you'd be innocent, or would you be guilty of breaking his Ten Commandments?
I would be guilty of breaking any number of the Ten Commandments, as much as everybody else in this earth is.
So when that day comes, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Okay,
that
next step.
The last step, D, destiny. Will you go to heaven or hell? Because they're the only two options.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Yeah,
okay.
Now this sounds scary, but it's not. You're just asking him a question. You're not saying you're going to hell or anything judgmental like that. You're asking him.
Okay, so, all right, so in light of the fact that you've broken the commandments, you'd be guilty in God's eyes. Do you think that you'd go to heaven or hell?
That's it. Now you may slip in. You may get your feet wet. Don't fall in, Kirk.
All right.
But you may slip off your rock and he may get you sidetracked.
Yeah, like if he says, well, look, I don't believe in hell.
Yeah, or what about evolution? Or I don't believe the Bible is the word of God. Just don't take any notice. Get back up on your stepping stones.
Stay on my rock.
Yeah, just stay.
Just, if God judged you and you were guilty, do you think you'd go to heaven or hell? Just get back to that question.
Yeah, and it's only if. You're just surmising.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and the guy says, well, if that was the case, then I guess I'd go to hell.
And then say, does that concern you? That really concerns me.
So what do you think is your ultimate destiny, heaven or hell?
Me, hell.
What do you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
Where would you spend eternity?
Eternity would be hell if I died right now.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
If God judges you by the Ten Commandments and the Day of Judgment, you'll be guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell? It's
probably
a very important
hell.
Question. To hell?
Uh-huh.
See, we know the Ten Commandments are right. It's wrong to murder. Wrong to kill, lie, steal, commit adultery. I mean, God's law is written in our hearts. We're given a conscience. And it makes sense that God should judge humanity. What would you think of a judge in Florida who turned a blind eye to the workings of the mafia? He's a corrupt judge. And if God is good, he must bring murderers to justice. He must bring liars and thieves and adulterers and fornicators. And you've admitted to me you're a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart. You're in big trouble. The Bible makes it clear you go to hell, and that should greatly concern you. You don't want to lose your soul, your life.
So, is that when I share the gospel with him?
Well, what you do is watch his mouth. If someone keeps justifying themselves and saying, I'm a really good person, then you need to bring out the law again and say, look, if you keep justifying yourself, you'll never seek God's mercy. If you don't admit your guilt, you won't seek God's forgiveness. You've got to be honest. Stop trying to cover your tracks. Just say, okay, I've broken the commandments. I need God's forgiveness. When someone says that, then they're ready for the gospel.
Okay. So I might be on this rock for a little while if they're dancing around and wiggling around saying, I don't believe in hell. I just don't think that's the way it's going to go down. And I just plead with them and I say, come on, listen, whether you believe in it or not, the truth is that there is a place of punishment. And if you just admit that you're guilty before God and you need his forgiveness, then I could tell you how you can find that forgiveness.
And someone wisely once said, if you haven't got tears in your eyes, let them hear the tears in your voice.
Yeah, I should plead with them.
You say, man, I don't want you to go to hell. That would be a terrible thing. I'm not lying to you. This is the gospel truth. I don't want your money. I'm not saying join a church. I'm saying just please, you know, consider your eternal salvation. What's going to happen to you after you die?
Yeah, and I could ask them, what if you're wrong and you find out that there is a God of justice and there is a hell? Man, I don't want you to perish. Consider my motives. I really care about you. God's offering his forgiveness to you, but it's on the condition that you humble yourself and be honest about your sin.
Right.
And so when the mouth is stopped and you detect humility or openness in any way, then the green light's there. Give them the gospel. Magnify the love of God in Jesus Christ.
Right.
God became a person, suffered and died on the cross, took the punishment for your sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. God commended his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's right. Then I can share them John 3:16.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
And say, think of it. Your greatest fear, the fear of death. You can be released of that, and your greatest enemy, the power of death, has been dealt with by the God who gave you life through the death and resurrection of the Son of God. And you explain to them what they should do, that they should respond. Don't just confess your sins to God. Say, confess and forsake them. That's called repentance. And don't just believe in Jesus. Trust in him as you trust the parachute to save you.
So if the guy's humble, if I can see that he understands he needs God's forgiveness, I can share the gospel, the good news. If he's still cussing me out, or if he's still blaspheming and saying, I don't need God's forgiveness, I'm a good person, I take him back through the law and show him the seriousness of his sin and say, man, the penalty for your sin is death and hell. And I don't want that to happen to you. Please be reasonable and think about this.
Yeah, and
listen
pray
to your
for
conscience.
Him. Pray for him. Because
and pray for him.
Yeah, it's God that will save him.
But if I have the privilege of seeing him broken before the Lord, I can say, man, God provided a way for you to be forgiven and share the gospel.
Amen.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the book of Acts.
Yeah. You did it, Kurt. The four stepping stones. WDJD. You had a structure.
Okay. And then I'm home free.
You're
I've shared
home free.
The gospel.
Your conscience is resting easy.
Okay. So there they were, the four points that will lead you through any witnessing conversation with somebody. W, D, J, D. Now, an important question comes up at this point. Once you've shared the gospel with someone, is it important to close the deal? Is it important to make sure that you get that decision and lead them through the sinner's prayer? Ray, let me ask you, do you think it's biblical to do that?
Well, one can't say it's biblical, but you can't say it's non-biblical.
It's just not really in the Bible.
No.
Doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's not there either. You don't find a person doing that.
Here's the thought that I have. If a man's committed adultery and his wife's willing to take him back, should I have to lead him in an apology? Dear wife, I'm sorry for sleeping with that woman. Now, that's silly.
No.
All she wants is for him to spill from his heart that he's sorry. The words don't matter. And the same with God. It's like David.
Like King David in Psalm 51, where David said, cleanse me of my sin. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Wash me clean of my transgressions. I don't think Nathan the prophet led him through that prayer to God. It just came out of his heart. And the same with a sinner. If conviction is there from the Holy Spirit, you can't stop the guy from going to the Lord and pleading with him for forgiveness and a new heart.
So you could say to him, you may like to pray now, and I'll pray with you afterwards, whatever.
Yeah, or go home, find a quiet place and repent, confess and forsake your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Call me, I'd love to answer any questions that you have. And then be a friend and see how he's doing, call him and make sure that he's got all of his questions answered.
And also, ask if he's got a Bible.
That's right.
And feed on the Word of God daily and obey what you read. He'll never go wrong if he does that.
Another point to really make sure that you've got down is to understand the tone of your voice when you're speaking to someone about serious things like sin and God's judgment and hell. You don't want to have this judgmental attitude and say things like this, well, do you think you're a good person? Or do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments? Huh? You want to watch your body language. Remember, you're not trying to argue and beat on this person. No, you're going to them in compassion. It's more the tone of a desperate plea with someone to get honest and get real before the Lord. You're not like a prosecuting attorney. You want to be like a compassionate doctor who wants to rescue someone from a terminal disease.
And remember, practice, practice, practice. Practice what you preach. Everything you've learned in life is a practice. I mean, you practice to ride a bike, you had to practice to use a spoon when you're a little child, you had to practice to walk, and it's the same with evangelism. Practice on somebody. When a telemarketer calls you, practice on him. You know, if you blow it, you can say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I've got to go now, and just hang up. But practice on someone. Look in the mirror. Get used to hearing your own voice.
Say things like, would you consider yourself to be a good person? And the more you practice that, the more you're going to feel comfortable saying it and say, I can do this. This is not that hard. I can actually do this. Practice with your friend, with another Christian, and then speak to the people you care about. Try to speak to a stranger. It's actually easier to share your faith with someone you don't know That was someone you do know. So go to the website, study these things, learn them really, really well. Get a hold of the Evidence Bible. It'll give you all kinds of tips, verses that you can use, analogies that you've heard in this program that will help you to explain the justice of God, the existence of hell, and the seriousness of getting right with God. Remember, it's www.wayofthemaster.com. We have also crafted an acronym to help you remember the essential points of the gospel itself. So after you've taken someone through WDJD, how do you present the important points of God's love? Well, the word, the acronym we've come up with is the word craft. And we chose this because of its definition. The dictionary says craft is skill in doing or making something, as in the arts. And we know that as Christians, our craft is to share the gospel. We need to be skillful and be master craftsmen at sharing the most important of messages. So again, this acronym is the word craft. Craft has a large C and a small C. The small C is inside the large C. The large C stands for the word concern. And that's the big question. Is the person concerned about their eternal destiny?
So what do you think is your ultimate destiny, heaven or hell?
Be hell.
Does that concern you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, does that concern you?
No, not really.
You don't even think about it? So you don't mind if you go to hell for eternity?
Not really.
Eternity would be hell if I died right now.
Now, that should greatly concern you.
And it does.
What are you going to do about it?
Get right.
Well, how do you do that?
Get saved.
So, how do you get saved?
You repent and be baptized. And for the remission of your sins.
And put your faith in Jesus.
Yes.
Well, why didn't you do that today? What's stopping
you? You know, that's a very good question.
Yeah. Would you go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Yeah.
I mean, it should terrify you to think that if you died, you know, right now, if your heart gave out or a car hit you or someone got out a gun, that you'd go to hell for eternity. It's a terrible thing. And you're without excuse because God gave you a conscience. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments and the Day of Judgment, you'll be guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell? It's
probably
a very important question. To hell?
Uh-huh.
Now, does that concern you?
Yeah.
I mean, it should terrify you to think that if a car came off the road here, killed you, you go to hell for eternity. That's a terrible thing to happen to anyone. The smaller C stands for the cross and obviously the resurrection. Then the RAF is repentance and faith. And then T is truth. The person needs to be steered toward the scriptures. So you've taken someone through WDJD. They now say their eternal destiny is hell. So the big question is, does it concern them? If it doesn't concern them, they need to be awakened. They need to become concerned. And you can show them how they need to be concerned by relating what we call the I analogy. Watch this.
Let me ask you this. If a doctor came up to you and said, we're doing these experiments, we're collecting human eyeballs, and you happen to have the perfect set, here's what we'll do. We'll take one of your eyes, whichever one of your choice, right one, left one. You have one hidden we don't know about, we'll take that one too. We'll replace it with a glass eye that looks exactly like your other eye, except of course you can't see through it, you'll be blind on one side. And we'll give you $1 million cold cash, and you won't feel a thing. Would you do it? $1 million, one of your eyes. You won't look funny because you'll have a glass eye that looks the same. You think you'd do it?
Well, it depends on which one they take, because I can't see out of one of them. And I'm you're right. You know what? I'll answer that though.
Would you do it?
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't. What if they offered you $100 billion for both your eyes?
I wouldn't do it.
Because your eyes are precious to you, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the one thing that people oftentimes consider, and I want to ask you if you've considered this. If people's eyes are worth more to them than all the money in the world, shouldn't their soul that looks out of these eyes by using them as windows be even more valuable?
Yes, it should.
Then if the person is concerned about their eternal destiny, you take them to the cross. Explain to them how Christ died for their sins, that he rose again on the third day. Then repentance. That means to turn from all sin, not just confess your sin, but confess and forsake it. And faith, not just a belief, but a trust in Jesus, like you trust a parachute. And then when they do that, repent and put their faith in Jesus, they'll be saved. And then point them toward the scriptures, the truth of God's word. That's where you find the truth of God's word, in the Bible. Tell them to read the Bible daily and obey what they read. Now, does that concern you?
Yeah.
I mean, it should terrify you to think that if a car came off the road here, killed you, you go to hell for eternity. That's a terrible thing to happen to anyone.
Yeah,
it is. You know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
No.
You've got no idea?
No.
That he sent his son, born of a woman, to die on the cross, take
the
punishment.
Yeah, I know that. It's for our sins.
Yeah. Jesus died. He took the punishment for your sins. All that blasphemy, the lying, the stealing, the lust, the hatred, all of God's anger came upon him so that you could go free.
Yeah.
That's how much God loves you. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A substitutionary death. You broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine.
Yeah.
Now, you know what God requires of you?
To follow his Ten Commandments.
No, that won't help. You've already broken them. You know what you need to do?
No.
You've got to repent, that is, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed and grant you everlasting life. You know the song Amazing Grace?
Yeah.
Do you know the words?
Not by heart, but
well,
I know
Amazing
it.
Grace, how sweet the sound. Grace
yeah.
is God's favor, his mercy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Mm-hmm.
I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
So the only thing that can save you from hell and death is the grace of God, his mercy. So there you have it, WDJD and craft. That's your structure. Now at this point you may be feeling like that's a bit hard to remember, but by the time you finish this course, it won't be. You should have been given a little card with WDJD written on it and craft. This is something you can practice, you can refresh your memory, you can even use it when you're witnessing. And I'll give you a little acting tip that helps me to remember my lines when I'm doing a part, and it'll help you too. Learn to listen to what the other person is saying. See, you don't want to just think, two lines to my line, one line to my line. Then what you say comes out like a canned speech. You want it to be natural. So listen to what they're saying. And if they're saying to you, yeah, it concerns me that I would go to hell if I died tonight, that should naturally trigger your memory to cause you to say, well, let me tell you what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell, and tell them about the cross. So be a good listener. It'll help you know what point to make next. Next week, we're going to look at the top 10 questions and objections asked by non-Christians. Questions like, what about those people in the deepest jungles of Africa who've never heard about Jesus? What about them? Or, I don't believe the Bible. It's full of fairy tales. Or, what about all the suffering? That proves there's no God, no loving God. Or how about this one? When people say, it's intolerant for you to say Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's many paths that lead to God. Or how about if somebody says to you, you shouldn't be judging me. After all, Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. We're going to show you how to answer these questions simply, effectively. And we're not just going to tell you, we're going to show you in real life where the rubber meets the road. So make sure you're here with us.
Thank you for joining us for the basic training course. Be sure to visit our website at wayofthemaster.com, where you'll find more information about the Way of the Master ministry. Please join us in the next teaching as we continue to learn the Way of the Master.